Derek wins at chess. Christina chooses surgery over love. And Alex realizes he's not a bad person. Insight on all that and more in today's official Grey's Anatomy podcast. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the podcast. Today, we're joined by writers Tony Phelan and Joan Rader to discuss the last episode entitled, I Like You So Much Better When You're Naked. They'll chat about Derek's move to become chief, Alex's breakup with Izzy, and, of course, a few tidbits from the next episode titled State of Love and Trust. That episode airs on February 4th. Here now are Tony and Joan.
Hi, this is Joan and Tony, and we're talking about episode 613, I Like You So Much Better When You're Naked. And this was a great episode where we were going to deal with a lot of stories that were sort of coming to their final climactic end. Like in the previous episode, Meredith had told Derek about the chief's drinking. And in this episode, he wants to go to the board, but Meredith says that it's, you know, she wasn't telling Derek Shepherd, doctor, she was telling her husband, Derek Shepherd. And so there's a real conflict between the two of them. And we love that fight at the beginning between Meredith and Derek.
And she finally has to yell post it.
Yeah.
Because that's the only thing that's going to stop him.
The actors were amazing in that scene.
They were both really good. And it was fun because Ellen and Patrick love it when they get to really kind of go at each other. I mean, playing the love scenes is great, but playing the moments when there's contention in the relationship is also fun.
Well, it's fun, too, because they're really, like, behaving like husband and wife. It's not like, I'm going to divorce you or I'm going to leave you. It's like their relationship has really moved to another level where it's like, how do we do this thing? How do we negotiate this thing of having a personal and a professional relationship? And I love how it is played in this episode. And it was an episode that Shonda saw very clearly, where it was, she wanted it to be like a chess match where Derek and Meredith are sort of making their moves, and it sort of comes to one final moment where Derek says to Meredith, you should know that if I become chief, the first thing I'll do is bring Izzy back. So it's your choice. It's basically, he leaves it in her lap. It's your choice, Izzy or the chief.
But that said, both Meredith and Derek acknowledge Derek plays kind of dirty through the whole thing. And I think it's, you know, from his point of view, it all comes down to that, both the scene that he has with Bailey when she begs him to do something, and that scene that he has with Owen in the doctor's lounge, where Derek knows that by doing what he's thinking about doing, he's going to come off looking badly, not only to Meredith, but to everybody. It's going to look like he's trying to grab power from the chief.
And what I liked about a couple of the stories, that one in this episode and the Cali, Arizona, it's sort of like Derek does this thing. He's playing a little bit dirty, but he does it. You can tell he's doing it for good reasons. And so you don't hate him for it.
Well, and it's painful for him to do. It's not like he plays dirty and there are no consequences for him or he doesn't feel it. He feels it. And he knows that he's going to hurt people by doing it, and he wishes there were some other way. But we, from the time we decided to kind of reignite the chief's problem with alcohol, which was really the beginning of this season, we knew that we were going to do that. So the loss of George fit into that, and the struggles with the board and the merger and all of that, very consciously we were saying these are things that are contributing to his drinking. And the chief is going to become, his decision-making process is going to become more and more erratic. And what was interesting was before we revealed that the chief had been drinking, there was a lot of talk on the message boards and on the website about how, I don't understand why the chief is doing this, and this is crazy that the chief would do this, which was exactly what we wanted, because the people in the hospital are, Derek especially, are reacting the same way. This does not make sense. This doesn't feel like Richard.
And what Derek is saying is that when Richard fired Izzy, he was drinking. His judgment was not clear. And so under those are the grounds that Derek is going to bring Izzy back when he tells Meredith that that's what he'll do. The other story that I think you see somebody in sort of a bad light or it's more complicated is when Arizona lies to Callie and says that she never had the chicken pox. And finally, when she explains that, you know, it's just that she's not ready for pox and pus and scratching. They're still in the sexy part of their relationship. I kind of love her, you know, and Callie's like, oh my God, you're a monster. And it's funny. We wanted to play it light. Like, I don't think that it ever was some kind of horrible fight in their relationship. We wanted that to be the funny story in that episode. And I think it was really great. And the scene, this was Shonda's idea, the scene where Mark gets into bed with Callie and rather than scratches her, he just rubs all up against her. I think Shonda had the chicken pox when she was in college and a friend, you know, did that to her. And she said it was just like this most amazing moment of friendship. So that was straight from Shonda's life. We should talk about this Christina.
The Owen, Teddy, Christina triangle coming to its kind of apex.
We had major arguments in the writer's room about the whole, would you choose surgery or would you choose love? It sort of came down to the, you want to think you would choose love, but then you're giving up this thing that makes you who you are. So there's no easy answer. And Christina's feeling like, of course you choose surgery. Because for her, that's like who she is. If she didn't choose that, it would be like giving up on life.
I think the big discussion that we had, not only what we would do, but the big discussion in the room, especially in dealing with Christina's character, is always Christina's a very uncompromising person and has very set beliefs that she operates from. And the temptation, now that we've been with the characters for 6 years, is to say, well, she's grown now, and she wouldn't feel that way, and she's a different person. Well, there are certain things in everyone's personality that you can kind of soften the edges of, but they don't change. They're who you are. And so it was important for us to have Christina go to Meredith and say, am I totally crazy? Because I feel this. And I know that no one admits to this, but this is what I feel.
And that moment in surgery then when Teddy decides to do a different procedure to save the opera singer's lung is like this confirmation to Christina that, oh my God, she gets it. She gets it that there are certain things that you have to have in your life to make your life worth living. If you're this kind of person, you know, Christina has to have surgery and this guy has to have singing. Teddy gets that, you know, and she's acting all like Christina's this horrible person, but Teddy gets it. And that great monologue where Christina gets to say, you get me.
Right. And then Teddy goes off and tells
Owen.
Oh,
Teddy goes off and gets drunk.
And tells Owen what she said.
That she never liked Beth and that he was too good for Beth and that Christina said this thing. She was so good in that.
She was great in that. And then no one gets to go back to Christina. These three characters are going to continue to kind of find their way in a working relationship and in a friendship relationship. And how that we're obviously not going to tell you guys how that all comes to pass, but it's not over between these people. And we've always talked about how Christina falls in love with Teddy. Teddy falls in love with Christina. Teddy's in love with Owen. Owen loves Teddy, but is in love with Christina. So it's all screwed up.
Very complicated triangle. So in the love work debate, the argument kind of all culminated in that lunchroom scene where Izzy starts talking, and she clearly comes down on the side of love, and she feels that she has a different perspective, and she does have a different perspective because she's been dealing with life and death stuff, and
she's lost her job,
and she's saying, you think that's going to be the end, but you can always get another job. There's always going to be another job, but there might not be another love of your life, and you have to choose love.
Well, what's interesting too for her is that being fired from the hospital has forced her to kind of find out what her identity is outside of the hospital.
Right, and just move beyond that kind of superficial identity. And we love the scene, too, where she's getting that scan and Alex admits that he slept with somebody. She takes a moment and she's like, you know, we can get through this. And then he holds her foot, which I loved. It was very sweet.
But their relationship, obviously, has been through so much and with her being fired and then coming back with Joel Grey and then coming back again with these new, you know, determined.
She's been battered all over the place.
Ping-ponging back and forth. And what was challenging for us was trying to find a way to have these two characters who have been through so much with each other talk to each other in a way that felt new and fresh and different, and that took into consideration the circumstances under which they got together in the first place.
Well, and also it was nice to see Alex. Alex would never have left Izzy when she was sick. And so this moment where her scans are clear and it looks like she's going to get this job, in the moment it just frees him. And, you know, he tells her that he's done and that the relationship, he stuck with her. And the relationship proved to him that he was a good guy. He's a good guy. Like, he always thought he was a bad guy, but being with Izzy through all this shows him that he's a good guy, and as a good guy, he deserves better. And
what was interesting about that speech is that we had written a first version of that speech, and Justin came to me on the set, and he said, you know, I love this speech, and I love what he's saying. I feel like this whole thing about him not being a good guy needs to go deeper. And Alex's backstory in terms of his family and where he came from has been relatively unexplored by the show so far. And he's like, I really feel like this is a guy who grew up in a house where he was told that he wasn't a good guy. That's kind of where he comes from. So the surprise that he is bigger. And we kind of incorporated that idea into the speech. And I think it does really allow you to, while being, like Izzy, profoundly sad that he's breaking up with her, understand where it's coming from.
Well, and you're also happy for him that he's getting this new...
That he's getting free. He's becoming free.
Yeah. Oh, we love the opera singers, by the way. Those were the opera singer and his boyfriend just so happened to be two friends of ours, so...
Dan Bukatinski and Paul Vogt.
Who they did great.
Were fantastic together and allowed us to explore that relationship of this kind of caregiver and larger-than-life personality. In this relationship and the compromises that each of them make. And the challenge in that story was really showing that this couple love each other, and that's not the issue. The issue isn't that they don't love each other. The issue is that they do love each other, but that one is struggling with the fact that he gets confirmation that his partner has little to no respect for what he does. Yeah. And how do you deal with that? But I think the performance of both those actors was really great, and it's become one of those couples that pop up every once in a while in the show that you really kind of fall in love with. So we should talk about Mark and Lexi.
Mark and Lexi. Oh, my God. How about when Lexi finally, you know, when Mark comes and says he slept with Addison, and Lexi is relieved because she slept with Alex and they're even...
Well, the great thing is that both of those characters in the episode are told by other people, don't tell your partner that you slept with somebody else. Just don't. But neither of them can help it.
But I just love the surprise at the end when Mark is like, you did what? And he's horrified. And that was really fun. And we're going to see where that goes, where that heads that couple, where that couple is heading in the next episode.
And the continuing kind of profound implications for Mark discovering that he has a daughter and that his daughter is going to have this child, and how it really, we really wanted to shake up the character of Mark Sloan this season. In some ways have him grow up, but in other ways really have him examine what he wants out of life and where he's going, and how where he's going and where Lexi's going might not necessarily be the same place.
February 4th is the next episode, and we're going to get a chance to see Derek's first day as chief.
State of Love and Trust, which is written by Stacey McKee.
Yay, Stacey.
And, yeah, Derek's first day as chief is not necessarily going to be an easy one. But
Watch.
Absolutely.
So this is Joan Rader.
And Tony Phelan, and we're the Grey's Anatomy husband and wife writing team, saying keep watching. Thanks.
Bye.
That's it for this podcast. The next new episode, State of Love and Trust, airs Thursday, February 4th, only on ABC.